Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, my love?
I am good. Summer is here, Bob. We are...
Isn't it nice?
Oh, thanks. I hate to be that British person that just talks about the weather, but also the weather.
Exactly that. And I think, do you know what? What better time for it to come? Like a couple of days of nice weather, especially after restrictions eased up a little bit this week. And I'm sure a lot of people in the UK have been making the full use of that. And quite rightly so. So great times. I want it to, like, I keep thinking, especially now the clocks have changed, please be summer.
And it won't last.
No, but every day we have is a blessing because it really does make a difference, doesn't it? A bit of sun.
Really does. You can actually just, like, there's like a, just a nice feeling around outside. Like, yeah, it's been a nice couple of days, and it's definitely nice to have those lighter evenings and just feel, yeah, like you said, because the restrictions are easing a bit. The pandemic is, I'm not going to say on its way out, because let's not count our chickens. But, you know, things are getting better.
Wish Rain is getting the message, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
J1.
Yeah. It just feels a bit more exciting. I just got told today that my rowing is coming back in 2 weeks, so I'm really excited about that.
Oh, amazing. She was great. Really loving doing that, weren't you?
Yeah, it was really nice just to have something. I mean, it took to do a 6 week course, it took 9 months during the pandemic because trying to find the small gaps of time when you were allowed to do sports together. But I've got another 6 weeks of the course to do. And so, yeah, providing the weather's good and it's not windy, because if the only reason I'll cancel it is if it's windy. But I'm just pleased that's another thing. It just feels like things are getting slowly back to normal.
Definitely. And I think, Joe, even with these little baby steps and stuff, it will soon start adding up and we'll take every baby step as it comes. Do you know what I mean?
Like, definitely.
I've actually not taken advantage of the six people in a garden yet.
You haven't yet.
But it's typical, isn't it? Because with Easter coming up this weekend, I think the weather's not meant to be as nice, which kind of would have been nice to maybe have a little bit of a barbecue. But we move. What can we do? But if the weather's like this in a couple of weeks, it'll be lovely for you when you're back on the old open seas.
Open seas, on the high seas. rowing to France. No, I mean, the Royal Docks is not quite that. But yeah, but no, it will be nice. And it's just something else to look forward to, isn't it? And then in like 3 weeks, I think, it'll be a week and a half. 2 weeks that when the shops start to open, which will be another thing, and then, you know, people can have drinks outside. It's just all things are gearing up again.
It's exciting times. And isn't it this weekend you come to the end of your 100 days?
I broke.
Oh, did you? Tell me everything. What was the first drink you had?
A mojito.
Oh, nice.
Quite random.
Was it the sun that encouraged you to have a tipple?
Yeah, so I basically, the rules went out of the window 2 days early, but I think that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
And I went around my friend's house and there were four of us, and he made four mojitos. And then I was like, oh, I'm not actually drinking. And then I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to do it.
It's a waste of Bacardi otherwise.
Exactly. No, warming up, you know. So yes, I did break. But, I mean, I did end up getting quite drunk. I haven't had a drink since. I'm going to keep it until Thursday when I've got the day off. I'm going to go see my friend. I nearly made it, which is exactly what happened last time.
It's amazing, babe. You can't moan at that.
Not quite 98, but close enough. I'm pleased I've made an attempt. I did nearly 3 months, so that'll have to do this year.
And it really does hit you when you've had a little while off of it, isn't it? You kind of, even after one, you're a bit like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I had a hangover that lasted until Monday. So that'll teach me. You know, I woke up on Monday morning and I was like, I still feel like death. Why have I done this to myself? I always think I'll end up learning how to moderate. I probably never will. So we'll just have to learn to live with it. What about you? What have you been up to, Bob?
Not a lot, really, Bobes. Not a lot. Yeah.
Still on your break from TOWIE? Is that
yeah, ongoing? Still on my little break. So I'm just having just a little bit of time away. Just a little bit of a break. So for the next couple of weeks or so, I won't be in any upcoming episodes. But no, do you know what? I'm going to, if the weather's nice, I'm going to might sit in the garden tomorrow and treat myself. I kind of love the rays a little bit when I was out there earlier with the dogs. So no, just having them little, that little bit of downtime and just a little bit of me time, really.
Sounds ideal. What more can you want?
Exactly. It's all going on.
It is, of course, as it is
in showbiz news.
Yeah, certainly it's been an interesting week. Well, actually, I don't know if you saw the news, but my favourite story this week, actually, Demi Lovato coming out as pansexual. I mean, I feel like she may have hinted at it before. But I'm quite intrigued to see. She basically broke up with someone, didn't she? And now she's saying that she's a little bit less straight than she thought she was. I don't actually know any people that define themselves as pansexual, I don't think.
No, I don't think I do. But do you know what? I'd love when people are speaking out about it now, because education is key, isn't it? And especially when you've got such a profile as she has, and to be able to educate people and to speak about it, I just think it's absolutely incredible. So happy that feels that
she's comfortable
ready,
enough.
Yeah, and ready to say it. But like you, I wasn't sure if she had hinted before, because I kind of thought that she might have done.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I feel like she may have done, but regardless, she's saying it now, and I think come to the dark side, Demi. Come to the dark side. That's what I say.
We'll be there in September at Pride. Come on down.
Yeah, get her on the ITV float. That's a good idea.
Got to be done. But send her a DM. So
yeah, yeah.
To get in on the float with us, Demi.
super pleased for her to hear that. And actually, like you say, I think it is really important that we're educated, because I definitely think probably the first time I heard someone talk about something that wasn't straight, gay, bisexual, or lesbian, or trans, I probably was a bit like, oh, whatever. Like, do you know what I mean? But over time, you learn things, like, you know, and I think, good. The world is changing. It needs to change. We need to learn these new things and the way people feel, and they should feel free to talk about it.
So. 100%. And unless people do speak about it, how do we learn? So it's crucial that people do. And good on her.
Good on her. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely little bit of news for the week. What else has been going down? Oh, Sharon Osbourne. Have you heard about the Osbourne stuff?
Yeah. So it seems to be a bit dramatic, doesn't it? I mean,
So she's. I just need to. Get this right.
Get the facts right. Yeah,
got to get the facts, just because. Well, it's crucial. So she's on a show called The Talks.
Yeah,
like I think a bit like Our Little Swimming over here, but over in the States. And she's going to be receiving allegedly up to £10 million due to her contract being ended early.
Yeah. So basically, she was a very vocal defender of Piers Morgan after the whole Meghan Markle Good Morning Britain debate, and she had a fight with one of her co-presenters on the show, who was black. And in that, she kind of went very much on the defensive. She was very like, tell me, do you know what I mean? Tell me why it's racist and all these kind of things. It was definitely quite a uncomfortable viewing. And since then, she has now left the talk, and there is discussions of her having quite a substantial payout. There is apparently the channel, I think it's NBC, but not 100%. They've refuted that there's some substantial payout. So it's an interesting one what's going to happen next with that. There seems to be people like Sharon are a bit like what we're saying about Demi Lovato. They could do with learning some things. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, we weren't there and we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, and that can make things, that can shape your relationship with someone that you work with. But it was just very uncomfortable viewing. And I think,
have you actually seen the clip? Was this live on air? This took place.
Yeah. Initially. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So.
So yeah, I mean, it's just quite uncomfortable to watch. And she did sort of apologize, I believe, saying that, you know, she's also learning and in the process of learning these things. It's just complicated and difficult. And I think she didn't shower herself in glory, shall we say. But it will be interesting to see what happens next for her, because the Osbournes just never go anywhere, do they? They're always the comeback kids.
Yeah. Again, I don't know if it's just rumour mill, but I read somewhere, I'm sure, that there's been talks of, or there's been offers from a network to redo, to see if they're up for doing another...
The Osbournes.
The Osbournes show, which was a huge show.
It was so basically the precursor to sort of Kardashians and things like that, wasn't it?
100%, yeah. I think if it wasn't for the Osbournes, that kind of set the tone for the Kardashians. But if her diary's a bit more free now, maybe we will see her throwing food over the garden fence.
that was a fine Sharon Osbourne moment for sure. I had heard they were talking about something for like the 20th anniversary or 15th anniversary or something, because it was basically one of MTV's like biggest shows. I remember when it came out just how massive it was. So it'll definitely be interesting to see if maybe like you said, because of her leaving the show, that maybe she'll go back to doing something like that. Remains to be seen, I guess. We'll have to wait and see.
I guess it's a watch this space.
Yeah. I actually did just read something quite interesting just before we came on, from Louise Redknapp, talking about how she regrets doing Strictly because it basically led to the end of her marriage, which she's talked about quite a bit, but she hasn't ever said specifically that it was Strictly, but it was soon after Strictly that she ended up splitting up with her husband of, I think, like 17 years, something like that, Jamie Redknapp. And it's quite interesting to hear that she does have regrets about doing a show like Strictly. Because it definitely does seem that if your relationship's not in the best shape, it can bring an end to it, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think because there's obviously always the infamous Strictly curse that people say, but I don't think it's necessarily the show itself. I think any show format like that, where you're spending that much time with a partner and probably away from your spouse at home, especially if there is any kind of fractures or maybe on ideal at home, it probably just shines a light on that. And it's interesting for her to speak out and say that. In what sense? She said why it was the end of her and Jamie. Was it the fact that she was working away a lot?
No, there were a lot of rumours at the time, I remember, about her and Kevin Clifton. None of them ever founded in anything. But they were friends, and she, you know, they're not friends now, seemingly anyway. So, yeah, I mean, she basically said that she found her love for performance again. And, you know, as someone who was, you know, she was quite a big pop star in the late 90s, wasn't she, early noughties, to suddenly find yourself back in the limelight performing and people cheering and clapping, it probably is quite intoxicating, I imagine, and would make you think, do I want to go back to that?
Because I guess she kind of stepped away from music, certainly, hadn't she, and had her family and...
She said as much. She basically said that, you know, I was a mother and a wife, and she wanted to discover herself again. You can understand that, I think.
I guess the minute you're back on that dance floor.
twirling around,
being picked up and spun around and having a lovely old time. Maybe it does make you think, oh, it's like when you're a performer, aren't you? Like a lot of people in perform, whether it's music, dancing, acting, people start as kids. So it's a part of your life, isn't it? But yeah, interesting for her to speak out about it.
Yeah, definitely interesting for her to be so vocal. Actually kind of related to Strictly, I don't know if you also saw the pretty horrific, actually, injuries that AJ Pritchard's girlfriend, Abby, suffered doing, doing a TikTok video, trying to replicate trying a TikTok video?
Yeah, was it some viral video that was going around on TikTok she's tried to recreate?
Something like that. Football. Yeah, her face got really horrendously burned in the process. I mean, it does make you realise, because these things that go, you know, viral online and stuff, there's no health and safety involved, is there? It's like someone in their back garden or on their balcony, like messing around with fire, and that can go very wrong. Do you know what I mean? I've managed to set my bed sheets on fire before just by not even like noticing I did it. Like when you like fluff up your bed sheets, I had a candle next to the bed and it just caught the very end of the bed sheet.
Oh, I mean, one just went up.
Yeah, and you know that you realise how quickly you can make that mistake, and if you're just seeing the injuries that Abby had, just really horrendous. So definitely our thoughts go out to her and hope she recovers quickly.
Definitely. And like I say, people to be aware of when you are seeing these viral videos, and anyone that is trying to do them at home, especially, I think a lot of people are getting into the viral video thing, especially during the lockdown the last year, because let's face it, everyone's got nothing but time.
Yeah.
Just bear in mind that a lot of these aren't health and safety tested or anything, and that accidents do happen. So really do be careful, especially when you're playing with fire.
Literally, yeah. It definitely would make me think twice about doing something similar, I think, when you see someone with a high profile, how easily, you know, she ended up injured. Fit, young, healthy person, and it's just one accident and mistake, and yeah, horrific consequences. Anyway, we do have a show to be getting on with. We have, very exciting, we have Tom Zanetti, DJ extraordinaire, Celebs Go Dating, now apparently made in Chelsea, which we're going to talk to him a bit about. And then we also have Tally from The Circle in as well. So I believe Tom is here now, so shall we get him in?
Perfect.
Hello.
Hello, Tom. You all right, mate?
Sounding bold, but I didn't even realise you were there.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Tom. Yo, how you been, mate?
How's it going, handsome?
Yeah, keeping well. How about you? You've been a busy boy, ain't you?
Oh, yeah, I've been non-stop, mate. Yeah, non-stop. I'm just on my way back from your neck of woods now. So I'm just coming back from south, back up to not up to up to Leeds, sorry.
What have you been doing down here?
I've just been working, I've just had some meetings on and stuff. I've done a few bits with Sophie, with the Duchess in, made in Chelsea last week.
Yeah.
And then I've had to stay on for a little bit in London for some meetings and some other bits and bats that I've sorted out down here.
How are you finding stepping into reality, Tom? Obviously, I know that you've done a few little bits, and obviously you've done Celebs Go Dating, but really wanted to speak to you about Made in Chelsea. How do you find that? Because it's like a completely new world for you, isn't it, compared to the music?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's really, to be fair, it's quite nerve-wracking, but everybody on there is so welcoming. And I just really seem to get on with everybody. And you know, I'm like, Bobby, I'm a bit mischievous, so I just go on and have a laugh with everyone anyway. But yeah, it's obviously different because you'll know, Bobby, that with Towie, I'm not sure if it's the same setup, but you know, with Made in Chelsea, you're in beautiful locations, but then they'll set up an amazing setting and a backdrop. And then, you know, you're given a discussion to a topic to discuss, and then you kind of freestyle it. So, yeah, it is actually reality. It's like the stuff you're talking about is off the top of your head, and it's not rehearsed. You're just it's just different. I really enjoyed it. It's good. I don't know how. I really take my hat off to them, to yourself, and to people who do it all the time, because it is very. It's a very long days and very draining, and you're behind the camera a lot, and It's not easy, man. It's not easy at all.
Is it completely different to how you thought it would be? Because I think, like you've just said, so many people don't really realise how shows such as Towie, Chelsea, and that kind of reality show is filmed. Was it what you expected?
If I'm going to be completely honest, I'd never seen the show before. And that's why I didn't recognise Sophie when I first met her in the other house. I just thought she was gorgeous, but I'd not seen the show. I've never watched it. I've seen Tower years ago, but I've never really had time to watch it. So I've always been working when you guys are on TV. So I didn't know what to expect, but I kind of thought it wouldn't. I thought it would be more like following you around and stuff like that. I didn't realize it would be, like settings, like set up in a way.
Yeah.
In a way, yes, set up. Well, yeah, it is set up. You know, that don't discredit it at all. It was set up, but then you've got to film it so many times and so many different angles, and you get the wides, and then you get the pretties, and then you get this and that. And it's these people who are on it, like Bobby, like yourself, they're on it for weeks on end, and it's very long days. It's not like it's made to look very easy because it looks so beautiful on the screen, but it's actually like so draining and so tiring. It's not easy at all.
So are you just doing like a cameo in it then? You're not in for a full series or what's the score?
I've come in for a full series, but I just couldn't commit at the minute. And because it's so, I didn't really want to intrude. Do you know what I mean? I didn't I just came down to see Sophie. It was a nice way for me to see her in person and have a bit of fun with Sophie. So that's it really for me. I didn't want to commit to being a cast member or anything like that. I got invited down to, I explained that I didn't want to intrude. I didn't want to overstay my welcome. I didn't want to come in on Sophie's thing when I didn't know her as that much from outside the other house. I just thought, so then they invited me to come and DJ at a party. So I thought, all right, wicked, I'll come and DJ and we'll have a bit of fun. And then, yeah, because she's been in there for a long time, you know, we FaceTime every day and we talk every day. But when it comes to seeing each other, that's the only time I've been able to really see her. So I just thought, why not? I'll go jump on there and have a bit of fun and see Sophie. And, you know, I get to actually be with her then. So.
No, exactly. So I do like that, especially if it's you coming down for your first bit to be DJ. And it makes sense. You know what I mean? Because obviously that's what you do very well. Yeah. How are things with you and the lovely Sophie?
Really well, yeah, really good. Just steady away. I mean, we're really enjoying each other's company. We spend, you know, we speak to each other every day, FaceTime a lot and talk all the time. And then when I'm with her, it's just, we have a lovely time. So just steady away. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not normal. You know, we're in a, you know, pandemic, so we don't get to see each other. You don't know how our life's going to be when tea time. So, and we're just taking it easy. There's no pressure at all. I don't want her to feel pressured at all into. We're just enjoying each other a lot.
And how have you found the whole like current situation? Because obviously there isn't much DJing to be done at the moment, is there? Like, how have you found? You must be looking forward to things getting more back to normal as time goes on now.
Do you know what? Like, I'm going to be completely honest. I've absolutely loved this whole lockdown thing.
Have you?
I know it might. Yeah, really, I've had, I mean, as long as everybody's been safe, and fortunately enough, you know, I've been living with my son. We've done the full first lockdown, 14 weeks, done it together, me and my son, and we just had such a laugh, and we were training twice a day, and staying really fresh and focused, and watching series, and learning, trying to learn languages, and all, everything that we were doing, and we were finding, like, it was like summer, the first one, so we were going and finding waterfalls, and exploring, and it was just brilliant, because you know, it's not often that you get to have that kind of downtime and like, you know, constantly, like I were always working, and don't get me wrong, I took my son with me a lot of the time on tour, but you know, it was good to just be at home, not knackered, not flying every single night and try on the road every single day to all different cities and countries. Obviously I'm in the same boat as everyone. I've lost a lot of money. I've lost a lot of business, and it has been very scary, and you know, it's uncertain to what's going on, but luckily I've had my boy with me, and we've had a great time. So I've really enjoyed it. But and if someone told me lockdown's going to be over tomorrow, a lot of people might disagree with me, but I'm like, I want to just ease back into normal life, because like Bobby, like yourself, you'll know when you're out and about, everyone wants a piece of you. And it's like, when I'm just enjoying the downtime, and just the it's made me really realize what is actually important. You don't need to be there and everywhere and flying and holidays and blah, blah, blah. If you can be happy at home, you know, like we're forced to be, then, you know, it's building a nice foundation for when you go back into normal life.
You mentioned your son, Tom. He's 14 now. Did he watch on Celebs Go Dating? And what was his his dad being on Celebs Go Dating in the mansion?
Do you know what? The most worrying thing and the most nerve-wracking thing, obviously, I didn't get to see any edits. I just watched it as it played out. And I was really worried, thinking, oh, I hope I've not said anything or acted in any sort of way that Deacon will find me embarrassing. And to be honest, the majority of the episodes, if he wasn't sat with me watching it, laughing his head off, he'd either be in his room watching it, and he sent me a WhatsApp saying, oh, I absolutely love this. And he actually once said at one point, that was a really lovely thing. I knew it made me so proud. I was like, what? And I was like crying. Oh. Yeah, really. Even then, it just made me feel like, oh. But yeah, he really enjoyed it.
I mean, how can he be embarrassed when his dad's Tom Zanetti? You know what I mean? Like, that's quite leg status, isn't it?
I've embarrassed him a few times, I think. I'm not cool. He used to think I was really cool, and now I'm just like a little geek. You don't let me drop him off at school, or I've got to wait around the corner and everything.
So. No parents are cool, no matter what they do.
That's right, yeah.
If that's the right way, that's the way it should be, I think.
yeah, of course, yeah.
Do you reckon he'll be watching you on Made in Chelsea, Tom?
I don't know, I'm sure he will, yeah. I'm sure he will, so. He'll be with me, so we'll probably watch it together.
Do you think he might end up following in your footsteps? Not necessarily with reality TV, but maybe like, I don't know, doing the DJing or that kind of thing? What do you think?
So he's always been really, really interested in music, and I've been teaching him to DJ from an early age and stuff like that. But the whole lifestyle, it doesn't really... You see, the thing is, when I were a kid, like me and my brother, we like from a different era, we used to like try and... Just gonna say, I don't know what I can say on radio, but we used to try and get pissed. We used to rob beer and get drunk and
act like
fool. Everyone used to do it at that age, but Deacon, because I've took him to so many nightclubs and he's seen so many people pissed up, embarrassing themselves, and acting. He's just really not interested in being in clubs or anything. He loves music, and we're even gonna get him a work placement in A&R at a label, because he always finds the sickest new music. He loves finding music and showing me and all my friends and. Who should really know and should have heard it before him, and we haven't. He's heard it all before us. He's at that age, so but he's completely like mad about football. So that's the best thing. I mean, through lockdown, he's lost over a stone in weight, and he took that on himself. Wow. You know, I'm so proud of him. Like when we first got into lockdown, he had some pretty bad stuff go on before lockdown initiated, and he wasn't in a very good place. And then we started training together and getting up and running and dieting and doing all this stuff, and he didn't have any motivation. And then he actually just took it on himself one day and said, right, I'm going to do it. He's not touched a fizzy drink. He's not had a bag of crisps. He's not doing anything. He watches what he eats. He won't do. And he's done really well, and he's exercising every day. So he wants to be a professional footballer. And, you know, I'm really going to push him into that, because if he does that, then he's my retirement plan, isn't
he? Oh, good on him.
That's it. But yeah, he's such a good kid, man. He really is. So I'm very proud.
Oh, it sounds like, yeah, I can see
whatever he wants to do, I'll support him. But if he's going to pull it off as a footballer, then obviously I want him to
do that. No complaints.
Not at all, no. Yeah.
Can you, you've got a new single out, is that right?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about it, yeah.
Yeah, so the single itself, it was actually like just a throwaway. Like, it wasn't even something we were going to put out. Like, I make music all the time and don't even release it. Just like, you know, when I'm messing around at studio. And I made this one with my cousin, and I wrote it in the isolation for the Celebs Go Dating show. I wrote it in isolation before I went into the mansion in the hotel. And then when I came out of the show and I was watching it back, it's mad because everything that I mentioned in this silly little song, all the lyrics, like kind of literally correlated to everything that happened in the mansion, and a lot of it with mine and Sophie's relationship, if you like. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, do you know what it is? I'm just going to put it out because it's perfect time to do it. and just it was just like the like mad. It was like the stuff I'm saying that I wrote while I was in isolation for the show. It's mad because talk about a girl from South and I'm from Leeds, and then she called me a porn star on the show very blatantly. I don't know if you saw that. And then there's all different things that are going on, and it all mentions it in the songs. I thought we'll put it out, and it's doing really, really well.
It's like you manifested it then. You manifested that.
I know, maybe, yeah. A few people said that. It's mad. They're like, I won't even... It was just something I wrote in lockdown, and I sent it back to my cousin and said, right, I've wrote this. We'll put that over it when we get out. He's come out and we were just like laughing his heads off, saying, what the hell, this is mad. We were both going back and forth. So I said, right, fine, we'll just put this out and let's see what happens.
No, I love it. Oh, good for you, Tom. And I'm glad everything's going well for you, mate, and you're keeping yourself busy. Like you say, it's been a strange year for everyone, but it's good that you've been able to find other avenues and keep busy. Yeah.
You've got to make the best of a bad situation, haven't you, buddy?
Of course you have, mate. Would you like to introduce your new single for us, mate? And we're gonna pop it on for you now.
Yeah, sorry, I've been talking loads, and I'm just...
No, that's all right. Don't apologize.
Hopefully we can catch up at some point, Bob, and you can let me know how things are with you and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to, Tom. It sounds wicked.
All right, yeah. Well, thanks very much for having me, guys. Sorry if I talked your heads off.
But, not at all.
Yeah, I'm Tom Zanetti, and this is my new single, Didn't Know, on FUBAR Radio.
Me and her 10 been talking for weeks. She from South and I come from Leeds. I'm gonna date her in money like Meeks and take her mind so I can clap them cheeks. Sexting, we a real set of freaks. Imagination ripping at the sheets. And I can feel them vibes when she's on me. Wanting the real thing is getting deeper. Yeah, that's what I like though. So sexy, cute but psycho. I wanna beat it like Michael. Open doors and give her Michael. Cross the mobster with gentleman. So fly like a pelican. Star experimental man, she's in my heart and that's genuine.
Didn't know I had you in my heart. Didn't know I had you in my heart. Didn't know I had you in my heart. Tell me that we'll never be apart.
A lot deeper, she do her thing and I do mine. I'm never gonna mistreat her. The thing that I love the most is her time. What we got is a lot deeper. She do her thing and I do mine. I'm never gonna mistreat her. The thing that I love the most is her time. So I don't stop, eye contact and I can't stop, won't stop. She want it hard and I won't flop. Kiss her in the card and we had it in the phone box. All over the world, she arched that back, I make her toes curl. Better than all of the girls, this sweetheart, she got my heart, yeah.
Didn't know I had you in my heart. Didn't know I had you in my heart. Didn't know I had you in my heart. Tell me that we'll never be apart.
Thank you so much for introducing your song, Tom. It was great. It's interesting. Do you know what? I've heard so many people now that the lockdown is starting to come to an end. I've heard of reminiscing about the lockdown, even though as we were going through it, everyone's hated it. Do you know what I mean? It's funny because life slowed down for the first time. It was forced on us. And I think Tom probably speaks for actually quite a lot of people. You're a bit nervous about going back.
Yeah, I know quite a few people that are kind of getting this post-lockdown, not that we're there yet, but are getting a post-lockdown anxiety and scared of life going back to what it was pre-COVID. And I can completely understand why we're so conditioned now to this. I almost think it's going to be weird to walk around Sainsbury's and see people with no masks on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I reckon masks will be one of the last things to go because, well, I can just see most people feeling more secure in public spaces with a mask on. But that day when we don't have to wear them anymore, I mean, that's just going to be insane. I think it's like, I can't even imagine it. But yeah, like that slower pace of life thing. I know my sister, when the first lockdown was over, was actually quite upset because she enjoyed having her sons, my nephews, at home with her. And they went, and kind of what Tom was saying, they were going to the beach and they were doing like nice little things. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's not all going to be everyone really happy about what's happening now, are they? But, you know, it's a mixed bag.
And it's lovely that some positives have been able, because you know me, I'm always trying to see positives in things. And I think it's so lovely that some positives have come from such a terrible situation. Like you say, for parents that have isolated and bonded with their children, like, and I think, what a memory would you have? Imagine like when them kids grow up to become adults. There's no way they're ever going to forget this year.
No.
And every lot of that year that I was at home. Like, I just think that there's that element that people might not see and acknowledge now, but I do think in years to come, people will look back with almost fond kind of memories, which sounds weird to say. But
no, I think you're absolutely right. And I think I had the same conversation with my sister, actually, saying that she's worried that the kids were missing out this year. And I said, I really don't think it's actually, they'll see it like that. They will see it as they didn't have to go to school. I mean, number one, for like 6 months, they didn't go to school. I mean, if I was that age, that would have been the most exciting thing that could ever happen to me. And you know, and we were lucky enough in my family, I mean, COVID did go through, but we were lucky enough not to have anyone seriously, you know, affected. Like you said, there are positives to be had. It's going to be interesting. And actually, just really interesting to hear someone like Tom, who you'd think of desperate to get back into his old world of the clubs and the bars and meeting people and blah, blah, blah. And actually thinking, maybe he doesn't after all that.
I think there's going to be a little bit of, and I know we've spoke about this before on a show, that I think a lot of people will have that, especially nightclubs, are going to just see things differently, because pre this, no one would have thought anything could be in a room with 400 or 500 people. Now people really...
Didn't even occur to me. Wouldn't even come into my head that there was a public health reason why I shouldn't go in there.
But now the vaccines are just going up and up, which is amazing. The rollout's going from strength to strength. And then hopefully, like I say, when masks do get phased out, I almost do hope, though, that what we've learned from this as well is, even if people just feel like they've got a cold or something, that people will acknowledge, you know, oh, I just don't want to spread that. I'm going to wear a mask.
Yeah. And don't go into work and spread it amongst all the people you work with and all that kind of thing. I agree with you on
that.
I'd
have a little bottle of Anti-B in your bag.
Just sanitise.
Because Anti-Back is a friend to everyone.
You are absolutely right. And actually, you can vaccinate people now. So, you know more than anyone how important it is to keep those mitts clean.
Absolutely. Amen
to that. Well, we now have Tally ready to come in, so let's get her in.
Perfect.
Hi.
Hello, Tally babe. How are you, my love?
Hi. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Hi.
how are you feeling about your experience on the circle? Because it probably wasn't as long as you would have liked.
To be fair, I was saying this to somebody earlier. In reflection, like, you go into it thinking, oh, I want the longest, most drawn out experience that I can. I want to make it to the final. But in hindsight, when you actually go on it and you feel like you fulfilled what you wanted from it, it was really the perfect time for me, to be fair. That's when I felt it was appropriate to leave. So I'm actually quite happy.
That's lovely to come out of a show like that and feel like it was your time, because timing's everything on a show, isn't it? And actually, people might get to the final and not have the experience that you had coming out earlier than them, and blimey, you certainly had an experience in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a tough run, to be fair.
Tell me about that, because I remember I was sat there watching, thinking, oh my God, like, so basically, for anyone who might be listening to the show here that's not seen it, can you explain about getting yourself cloned in the circle?
So basically, what happened is I think it was like 1 or 2 days in, I woke up one morning and there was two of me on the screen. Everyone else had one picture, I had two.
I'd be so fuming, like, why me?
Honestly, like, that's why I was screaming. I was like, why me? I was like, everyone in here's chilling, they get to talk to each other, but for some reason I was part of this target. So basically one of the other players got an ultimatum, they got blocked, and they got an ultimatum. They could either choose one of the existing players' identity to take and stay in the game, or leave, which nobody would do in their right minds. So Yolanda, one of the other contestants, took my profile, and she obviously had been in the game leading up to that. So she got to pick up on all my facts, everything about me, see how I talk, how I behave. And yeah, I just woke up one morning, there was two of me, fuming.
I guess the thing with the circle, in a way that like Big Brother used to be, is that the rules can change basically at any minute, can't they? You don't really know what's going to happen while you're in there. Did that annoy you, or were you just kind of up for that as a challenge? Like,
to be fair, like, I didn't really consider it when I was going into it. I think every year with these kinds of TV shows, they have to evolve and they have to keep their viewers, obviously. So like they have to keep on top of things and make it more juicy, more exciting. But I didn't really consider there'd be a plot twist, and I thought I wasn't a threat, so I didn't think anyone would ever pick me if there was a kind of plot twist.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could have prepared for it probably better if I knew it was gonna happen, but I had no idea.
Talking of preparing for it, how did it feel to go into the circle off the back of the madness that was 2020?
Do you think, I know.
That time in the house that we all had so much of, that kind of mentally prepared you slightly for the
Well, show? To be fair, I worked the whole time as normal, because I work for the NHS, so I didn't actually have like a lockdown as such. We never had like a furlough or weren't at work, so it was actually quite nice to have like a little bit of downtime. Because I've been working, it was like a holiday.
So this is a holiday. Okay.
Yeah, people are like, you're thinking right now, this is my lockdown. I've seen it.
Yeah, thank you, I'll take this.
Yeah, but it must have been, I mean, even if you were working that whole time, 2020 was rough for everyone, right? Like, I mean, so it must have been, there must be something that you like. Were you keen to get out of your day-to-day life to do the circle, or was it just come about by chance? What kind of it all kind of happened?
Yeah, so I actually applied when season one came about.
Okay.
So I've been like eager to get on it for like 2 and a bit years. So we had a difficult year with 2020 lockdown and stuff like that. I was gonna go into it regardless. And to be fair, to get out of your everyday life is always a plus. I was working like, well, I still am, but I'm doing a normal 5-day week, 9-to-5 job. So it was good just to do something a little bit different and unique, you know, and I'm a little bit quirky as it is. So I wanted to do something that kind of embodied my character.
How have you found your newfound fame, Tally, since coming out and getting like your phone back and having social media? And
I mean, to be fair, like, absolutely mad. I was a little bit overwhelmed. I didn't think that they drill into you with these kinds of things that like, you're not going to get any fame from it, not to take anything from it, don't quit your job, do you know what I mean? Like, so I did nothing and I got a lot of attention very quickly. And in all honesty, I was pleasantly surprised with, I think, everything that goes on with social media and mental health and how people are trolls and trolling and all of that stuff. I didn't get half as much as I prepared myself for. I really did expect the worst. I got couple of inboxes, someone said I look like a giraffe. I'm all right with it, giraffes are cute.
I don't see the little antenna things that they have on you. Yeah, you've got them hidden under your hair.
Yeah, but like other than that, to be fair, like just positive things. I think maybe people are just, I'd like to think that there's a learning curve in it and people are just starting to be a bit kinder, because my DMs have been lovely.
Oh, that's nice. And then last week, you, how did it feel? Was you sat there watching Gogglebox like the rest of us and then you see yourself pop up on
Jesus Christ, don't even. Honestly, so my like absolute goals, like, I was starstruck when he goes, Tally Mary. I was like, you know, Mary and Charles. Oh,
I love them.
Oh, they're the best. And the brother and the sister. And I just, yeah, I was a little bit starstruck, a little bit starstruck.
Did you find it? Because there's a bit when at the beginning, I think, of the clip that I saw from Gogglebox where.
Oh, I know.
Where you say, like, oh, like, I can't remember exactly what it is you say.
I say, I'm gonna do well in the circle because I got a banging personality.
And everyone's like, and everyone's a bit like, oh god. How do you feel watching that back?
That is actually probably the number one thing that I was like, oh, why? But my dad always taught me that if you feel like crippled with anxiety or like you feel like you just want the ground to swallow you up. So I was so nervous doing those VTs that I was like, okay, what did my dad tell me to do? And he says, project, do the opposite thing that you want to do. And he was like, so just go so over the top that no one ever believes that you're insecure or anxious. So I go, my personality's banging, I'm this, I'm that. And I was thinking, swallow me whole, please swallow me whole. And the brother and the sister in it go, I go, my personality's banging. And they go, ooh, humble. And I'm like, insult me, I'm so starstruck by you, insult me, I'm okay with it.
It's like being in a roast.
Yeah.
when you're in the circle, even though you're fully aware that you're in a purpose-built apartment for me, is there moments where you are forgetting there are cameras on you? Is it quite easy to forget, or was you always very conscious?
Yeah, no, I was completely, I think, probably 3-4 hours into being in the apartment. They're, like, decorated into your interior. So they're like hidden in corners and stuff like that. So you notice them at first because they make you jump sometimes when they move. So you walk past them and they're like, follow you. And you're like, Jesus. Because it's not some like big man with a camera or like a huge like crew and stuff. It's literally just these little cameras. So you'll walk past and it'll like buzz as it moves. And I was like, oh my God, what's that? But after about like a couple of hours, you just forget they're there because you've got to go about your normal business, like cooking dinner and stuff, like go to sleep. you just forget. I think probably like Big Brother, like you said, like same sort of vibe.
What was your go-to to pass time in there? Because like shows like that, when you've got nothing but time, and obviously you're not allowed phones, MacBooks or anything like that. What for you was your like kind of, right, I'm going to get through the next couple of hours?
Honestly, I would just stare. Like, they do these circle highlights and they're so funny. They're on their page and they're called Circle Extra. And they're just what we do when we're not doing anything. And my one, there's one that I'm sat on, they have like this rooftop thing with like a hot tub and stuff. And I'm just sat there and I go, and they're like, they film me doing this. I swear on my life, I have no recollection of doing it. But I think I'm talking to the birds because you can hear these birds and I'm like squeaking back. So honestly, I would just sit and listen to noises and stuff. It's quiet. It's quiet in there.
I guess in a way, though, because you're in a new environment and it's probably quite exciting. So in a way, sometimes when you are in like new places, you will just kind of sit and take it in a way, won't you? Is it kind of like that, do you think?
Yeah, for sure. They gave me, have you seen my apartment? It was wacky. Like some of them had these swanky, like nudes, like really sexy. My apartment, they probably, because I have ADHD, so they probably like give the apartment ADHD. So it gives it stimulating wallpapers and colours and stuff. But my wallpaper had like birds and fruit and twigs and stuff all over it. And I'd like sit there and be like, studying.
Got to find a way to pass the time, I can understand.
Yeah, I mean.
Absolutely. How has it made you feel, obviously now you're out and I guess maybe give you a little bit of time to kind of get over the experience of the circle, but has it kind of given you a taste for telly and reality now? Could you see yourself doing more in the future?
I mean, yeah, I absolutely loved it. I loved every second of it. It's not what I expected in terms of, it was, I don't know what I think. I think like maybe I was thinking you get filmed for like 10 minutes a day or like, I don't know, like an hour or like that. And you know when they do like Love Island stuff, it's like an hour out their day. I think like maybe everything else is downtime, but it's just not. It's like 24/7. But I enjoyed it. Like, I did performing arts and dance and all the creative subjects at school, and then I went into quite a normal job, and I always felt a little bit, well, I always feel a little bit lost when I go into things, but you've got to pay the bills, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I loved doing telly. I loved the whole thing. The whole thing was amazing. Best experience of my life.
What was it about the circle that you particularly wanted to apply for? Because there's obviously loads of, well, at Love Island, like you mentioned, you know, yeah, there's lots of these kinds of shows around. What was it about the circle that you really were really attracted to?
The scale of Love Island scared me, I'm not going to lie. And the social experiment side of the circle is what I wanted to go, that's what hooked me. Mm-hmm. So like when they, like the whole catchphrase is, I'll be anyone, you could be whoever you want to be. And I was thinking, like, I'm not actually that good at being myself on Instagram. Like when you looked at my, I didn't have any followers when, before it started, I had about, I think like 1,000. And I'd post these stupidly posy pictures. No one really liked them. I didn't even really like them. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I was thinking, like, you put across this kind of moody fashion thing on Instagram and it's just not you. And I was trying to like kind of work out why I do that, or why I can't find, like, feel the need to be able to express myself like I normally am in everyday life. And then I was like, oh, that's just the perfect opportunity to put it to the test. I mean, if I go on there and that all goes tits up, then we'll revert back to the old way.
Yeah. Well. If no one liked you then, yeah, I get that. That would be difficult. No, I mean, you've obviously, despite coming out early, you've obviously enjoyed the experience. I think that's the most important thing with these kind of shows, isn't it? Do you think you're still going to stay friends with any of them? Because obviously it's a bit of a weird setup.
I mean, yeah, 100%. We all have a WhatsApp group. We're all friends. But there's definitely people like, I don't know how much you've watched, but Manrika.
Yeah, so you saw her. Yeah, so you saw her at the end, didn't you?
Yeah. She's brilliant. She's got more intelligence in her right thumb than I do in my whole head. The girl's smart. Like, she is smart. And Hashu is a godsend. He is a beautiful, pure, lovely, amazing human being. I'd be grateful to stay in touch with any of them, to be fair. They're all great. They're all such characters, and they're all so different, and they're all so amazing.
How do you think Manrika will react to, obviously, the true identity of Felix?
Oh, yeah. See, this is a tricky one. I don't know. If she's anything like me, which she is, to be fair, she's a lot like me, but she's more refined. she's a hothead, and she's an Aries as well, and we're fire signs. And normally what happens is you boil over to start, and then you calm down. She just needs to simmer. I reckon she'll probably boil over to start. She'll lose her head, and then she'll probably be absolutely fine. I reckon she's a forgiven person. And I mean, it's a game show at the end of the day, and people, they win, when you can win 100 grand, people are going to have a game plan. You go into that knowing that people are going to not be who they say they are. So it's not a total and utter shock, yeah. I hope.
Yeah, I mean, if you come out of it really shocked that someone isn't who they say they are, then you probably haven't been watching the series
before. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
you're on the wrong show. Yeah. Do you think she's really starting to like Felix, though?
Yeah, I think so. I think as well, you probably can relate, but when you're in these situations when time is actually, and you see these people all the time, you feel like you've known them 6 months, when really they're the only people you've spoken to for a week. So I wouldn't be surprised if she does grow feelings towards him and attachments towards him, but hopefully not ones that would be difficult to be forgiven or rectified. I think probably, yeah.
Will you be watching the rest of the series?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll watch it till the end now, okay. 100%. Yeah, it's great. It's a really good series. And, like, I watched series one and two, and they're brilliant, but, like I said, I feel like they've just stepped it up. It's a little bit more savage, and that's good viewing, isn't it, at the end of the day?
It certainly
absolutely
is.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was amazing on there, Tally, I have to say. And I think that
thank you so much.
The game regarding you and being identity thefted and cloned, something completely new and unexpected. But you handled it well and hilariously, so good on you, my love.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it. And nice to meet you and meet you.
Thank you.
Okay, Kelly.
Bye,
bye,
bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bless her.
She's totally different to how I thought she would be. She's, I don't know, I just really felt really warm towards her. I liked her a lot.
Yeah. Good energy.
Good energy, yeah, definitely.
I've got a four poster as well in the background.
You're always looking on the lookout for beds, aren't you? Honestly.
I love a bed.
Well, that was a great show. We had two great guests on, as ever. How are you spending next week? What are you doing Easter weekend, Bob? Anything exciting?
Easter weekend. Well, I don't think the weather's gotta be great. I think I might have a nice little might do a little roast dinner.
Lovely.
A nice roast. You know me, I love being in the kitchen. So might even do a bit of baking as well. Maybe a Vicky sponge or something. Bit
gorgeous.
Of carrot cake. Yeah, get me old Mary Berry. Oh, what about yourself?
Living your best bake-off life over
there. Yeah, get the self-raising out.
What am I doing? I am. My friend is having champagne Saturday. On her balcony on Saturday, and then I've got another friend who's having a small gathering of six in Clapham Common for his birthday on Sunday. So it's basically like squeezing all of the things we can do as much as possible. I'm going to feel ropey come Monday.
And like I say, and now we're allowed. It's like the stable door's been opened, and you're bolting there.
Have you got any more vaccination sessions coming up, Bob? Or are you still...
Yeah, just trying to sort out a couple more shifts. Now I've got a little bit more time. I was going to try and get some more in, which I'm excited about. I've got a few pre-booked for a couple of weeks down the line. I'm going to see if I can get myself in one or two over the next week or 10 days. Just because I think that the numbers are so amazing at the minute, and the rollout's just going from strength to strength now. And like I say, we're having a little bit more time on my hands. It would be nice to get back in there and doing more, because honestly, I just love it. I feel like it's such a love. It probably sounds like a really strange thing to say, but
no, I totally get it. You're helping,
and it's nice to feel like I'm doing something, and it's quite an emotional thing.
I bet.
Yeah, really emotional, and just really nice. But I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I love the idea of the champagne Saturday that your friend's having. That sounds like my kind of Saturday.
Yeah, babes. I mean,
the weather's lovely for you.
I mean, I think it's gonna be cold. I think it's gonna be like blankets and champagne. But once you've had a couple of champagnes inside you,
it doesn't matter.
No, I don't mind being a bit chilly.
Especially after the last 12 months, you'd sit under an umbrella with it pouring down the glass.
I would, in a hurricane. I'll do anything for a sense of normality. Let's hope we can all enjoy it, and the numbers keep coming down and things stay positive. I think that's the best way to be about it all.
Definitely. Well, we're definitely heading in the right direction now. So everyone's just doing an amazing job, I think, haven't they? It shows this time round that where people have followed guidelines and the restrictions, I think that it really has made a difference. Numbers come down, obviously, allowing things to open up, which is what they kind of always said, wasn't it? So well done, everyone, I think.
Round of applause, everyone.
I love that. I feel like I'm doing an announcement like it's over. I kind of feel like I've got...
All right, Boris. Bobby Boris.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, when he's sick of that job, I've said it once and I'll say it again, I could see myself standing outside Downing Street, talking and doing my bit.
I'll vote for you, Bob.
Bobby. It's a hashtag right there, vote for Bobby. So when you vote for it, Bobby, it's time for Bobby Norris, I'll say.
Wow, yeah.
Larry the cat. I've had a selfie with Larry, he'll remember me.
Have
he
you?
Loves me. Yeah, I'm Larry. Me and
Wait. So we're supposed to come to the end of the show now. What, have you been to Downing Street?
Yeah, but I went to Downing Street to... with my petition, but it was Teresa at the time. But I made a bit of a faux pas when I knocked at the door. I said, "Oh, can you give this to Teresa?" Apparently, you meant to say the Prime Minister. I mean, there's only one Teresa in Downing Street. You knew what I meant.
Well, there was then. Yeah, fair.
And I was going to say Boris was on the doorstep. Boris weren't on the doorstep. It was Larry was on the doorstep, and I thought, "Oh, this is a selfie moment." So yeah, me and Larry. on the gram. I'll send it over to you. Lovely little cat.
Obsessed. Well, yeah, I mean, you could definitely move into Downing, the down the street flat then. No problem. Job done.
I'm packing the Louis as we speak.
Well, what an excellent show. On that rather odd ending.
Bobby moves into Downing Street.
There's the headline. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Until next week, goodbye.
Take care. Bye, guys. Happy Easter.